Moncrief on News Talk.
By the time she hit her mid-30s, the British journalist Nicola Slauson was single, reckoned it might stay that way, and was content in her own skin. But she did want to be a parent. So she and a friend came up with their own arrangement, what's known as platonic co-parenting. Nicola had a baby with her gay friend. Nicola is the author of Single, Living a Complete Life on Your Own Terms. Good afternoon, Nicola.
Hi, thanks for having me.
As I set it out there, you were in your mid-30s and had you been running through options in your mind about how you might have a child?
Constantly, since I was since I turned 31, I call it the fear. Some people call it the panic years, when you start to really realise that your fertility is going to decline soon. Women were told that, you know, our fertility drops off a cliff at age 35, and that age just obviously got closer and closer. And then I hit first 35, and every day I was thinking, how am I going to have a baby? And so I was thinking, you know, should I start dating? But then there's that pressure that puts on a relationship. You know, straight away I would have had to try and find out whether this person wanted to have children or not. It just felt really awkward and just a lot of pressure.
Yes.
And then I was considering solo motherhood with a sperm donor, but that's extremely costly and I didn't know how I'd manage on my own. Mm. So yeah, it was constantly like back and forth what to do.
Yeah. And when you, your friend that you had kind of talked around the issue, but not necessarily addressed it directly to each other.
Yeah, I'd essentially sort of been interviewing him for the job for about eight months before I actually asked him, and finally asked him if he ever wanted children. And he just thought that it wouldn't be possible for him as a single gay man. He was looking into solo fostering or adoption, but he'd given up hope of being a biological dad, even though, you know, he'd always wanted to be one.
I love the way that, you know, when you, you know, you were obviously understandably nervous about bringing it up. So you went about it in a very Irish way. You both got drunk and then you asked the question.
I did. Well, my gran was from Dublin, so must run in the blood. But yeah, I needed some Dutch courage, so I knocked back the wines and finally asked him. And yeah, he was really drunk as well. So actually the next day I didn't know whether he'd remember the conversation.
I did. the two of you then spent a few months kind of negotiating the arrangement. What kind of issues did you have to take into account there?
So we looked into all the legal stuff and we realized that there's actually no point in getting a legal agreement drawn up, because the courts in the UK just go with what's in the best interest of the child, which is usually 50-50. Parent, you know, splitting 50-50 custody, which is what we plan to do anyway. So we didn't go and get legal document, because we got advice that was basically just pointless. So we went into, you know, what if everything went wrong? You know, what if we had trouble having a baby? If we have fertility issues? What if I had a miscarriage? How we support each other? How we'd, you know, we sort of want to live on the same street or even next door to each other. That's the dream. At the moment, we're living together. So we were talking about practical things, how we'd do Christmas even. And we decided we'd treat each other, we'd be a family, even though we're an unconventional one, because we felt that was in the best interest of the baby. And so, yeah, that's what we've done. We consider ourselves a family. Mm. Obviously, we also considered like future partners.
Yeah.
And how, you know, we'd have to make sure that we found, you know, also making sure we gave enough time to really be sure. And we said that we'd meet the person before the, you know, the child did, and then hopefully find somebody who's willing to be part of this unconventional family rather than, you know, think it's, you know, not want to be part of it.
Yeah. Can either,
you know,
of
that's
you,
how you find the right people.
Are either of you allowed a view if either of you enter a relationship, in the sense that, you know, if you meet someone and this person might be around, that the father of your child might say, I'm not really not that mad on him. I don't want him around my
We have talked about that. We said, you know, obviously it's you know, we can't tell each other what to do, but you know, we're best friends, so we value each other's opinion anyway. And I think if it didn't feel right, then we we wouldn't want to pursue it because we need somebody who's going to fit in with what we're doing. And we feel like, you know, we're both happily single at the moment, so it's not really an issue, but we feel like there are people out there who would, you know, if people had a problem with what we're doing, then they're not the right person for us. So
yeah, well, that's that would be the case, I suppose, that it's a kind of a package deal kind of thing.
Exactly.
But that'd be a bigger package than normal, because it wouldn't be that unusual to me, you know, to start a relationship with someone with a child. But like,
yeah, that's true.
But like, dad's part of this as well. You've got to take that into account. And so now, as you said, you're all living together, which is probably handy because only 10 months old. Is that right? So you're still.
Yeah, the baby's 10 months old. So So practically, it just made a lot more sense, and we've saved a lot of money. I'm freelance, so I only got the statutory maternity pay as well. So it would have only just covered my rent, and I wouldn't have had anything to live off. So it made a lot of sense to move in together. Mm. And obviously, he didn't want to be, you know, he didn't want to miss out on the baby, and obviously, I needed help as well.
And if at a future point when you know, toddler or older, and you're living in separate places, have you talked about what the living arrangement would be?
Yeah, I mean, that's where we hope to live very close to each other, and we'll still, you know, spend a lot of time together as a family. And then, you know, just split days as if we're sort of a couple who've broken up at that point, but we wouldn't have the baggage that a lot of people who've broken up have when they sort of have to hand over the child and stuff like that, because we're best friends, so we don't have that. So yeah, I mean, we do have this idea of like sort of having a building where we have like one flat and another flat underneath. But that's sort of a pipe dream, I think. So.
Who was it that, like, when she was married? I think it was the actor. What's her name? I can't think of her name. But
yes,
she lived next door to
Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah,
that was like brilliant arrangement. A house.
I know. I think they had a door that led through or something. I actually would really like that, because Tom's much better in the garden than I am. So if we had houses next door to each other, we could have just one big garden and he'd be in charge of it.
And your book is about being single, but I suppose coming to that and having your child, I suppose, is that part of that about...
I wrote the book, and actually it was writing the book that made me realise that I needed to take action and do something about wanting to be a mum, because it's not about co-parenting. There's only the last sort of 4 or 5 pages that's about what happened after I wrote the book. But I interviewed lots of people, and one of the chapters was about motherhood. And, you know, it's a topic that's, you know, it's really painful for people who are single. If they don't know what to do, so a lot of people don't want to go down the solo motherhood route for various reasons. But they might be struggling to find the right partner. And some people, that's actually one of the common reasons that people miss out on motherhood. People think it's just the fertility issues, but it's actually people not being able to find the right partner in time. So when I was doing that chapter, I interviewed somebody who it didn't work out for them, and they realized they would never be a mother, but they knew that they tried everything they could. And I realized while I was doing the interview and writing it that I hadn't even tried, you know, I'd just been panicking about it. So it was writing the book that really helped me make the decision about what to do. The book covers a lot of different topics. That it starts with heartbreak and becoming newly single, and it goes through things like housing and finance and careers, and all the ways being single impacts your experience. And I interview more than 50 people from all walks of life, people who've widowed, divorced, people who've never been in a relationship, people who are newly single, people who are child-free by choice, people who are childless and wish they weren't, single mothers as well. So yeah, there's a whole sort of breadth of experience in the book. So and it's just about the joys of being single, but also the complexities, and you know, it can be challenging.
Is it everything more expensive when you're single?
So much more expensive. There was like a survey or a finance company worked out that it's nearly, in the UK, it's nearly £1,000 extra a month it costs to be single, because if you've got a one bedroom flat, it costs just as much to heat whether there's two people living there or not, and the rent's going to be the same as well. So you've got less disposable income when you're single. And that soon adds up. I think it added up to about £10,000 a year or something like that, which made sense, because then I was like, oh, that's why some of my friends who I know earn less than me are able to go on these nice holidays each year. I was like, why can't I? But it's because everything just costs so much more when you're single. And also, the name of my newsletter is The Single Supplement. It's obviously a play on words, because there's this famous charge that you're charged if you want to go on holiday on your own, where you actually charge more. Again, it's called The Single Supplements. That's why I call my newsletter that.
Yes. Well, best of luck with the book. Best of luck with your BABA as well. And thank you very much for talking with us today. That was Nicola Slauson there. The name of her book is Single, Living a Complete Life on Your Own Terms.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.